The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
We are grateful to God for His blessings over our lives and for His word to us. Correct positioning for total turnaround, part 2. Correct positioning for total turnaround part 2 is also an anointing service. And before we go into the anointing session this morning, we'll be looking at what it takes to position ourselves so that our life can change for the better. Somebody's life will change for the better. I say somebody's life will change for the better. Somebody's life will change for the better. In the first service, I told us that God wants your life to change for the better. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18, the Bible says, "The path of the just is like a shining light, and it shineth more and more until the perfect day." So God's delight is that your life keeps getting better. Things keep getting better for you. That's God's delight. Every parent wants their children's life to get better. And it's the same thing with God. His delight is that your life should get better. And it will get better in Jesus' name. I say it will get better in Jesus' name. Well, while looking at that, we looked in the first service at four major cardinal ways for us to connect or to position ourselves for this turnaround. The first is walking in the fear of God. Everyone that walks in the fear of God is a candidate for turnaround. Just like Job in Job chapter 1 and verse 1 to 3. Job chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. This man was a man that was a perfect man, upright man. Job 1, 1 to 3. He was perfect. He was upright. He was a man that feared God. He eschewed evil. That means he hated evil. Job doesn't involve himself in evil. And so, because of this, he positioned himself so that his life can change. In Job chapter 1, verse 3, particularly, the Bible says he was the greatest man and he was the greatest in the whole of the East. That's like saying he was the greatest in the whole of Africa. Just because he feared God. Again, I spoke to us extensively in the first service about another way for us to connect with turnaround, which is we should keep seeking God. The more you seek God, the more blessings seek you. In the first service, I told us the story of Uzziah, who was 16. At 16, he was already in charge. He was a king. He was an engineer. He was building towers. He was having wells in deserts. He was in charge. He was building towers. He was building equipments. From age 16, just because he sought God. He was pursuing after God. And because of that, progress was pursuing after him. That will be your testimony from today onward. Because you will be seeking God from today, progress will be pursuing you from today. Say a louder amen. Say a louder amen. Number three, correct way to be positioned for total turnaround is spiritual prosperity. The more your spiritual life prospers, the more your life gets better. Don't let anybody deceive you. Spirituality pays. Spirituality pays. The more spiritual you are, the more prosperous you become. I've been young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children begging for bread. The Bible said the young lions may lack and suffer hunger, but those that seek the Lord shall never lack anything good. So when you seek God and you pursue the growth of your spiritual life, you have positioned yourself to be able to move forward. In the first service, I told us, the moon has no light of its own. What we call moonlight is not from the moon. The moon positions itself to the sun. And the sun shines to the moon, then we have what we call moonlight. Moon has no light on its own. When you position yourself through a vibrant spiritual life, you have positioned yourself for endless blessing. Get ready? God is taking you there this year. Everybody that sees you, we thank God for you. I say everybody that sees you, we thank God for you. Everybody that sees you, we thank God for you. Everybody that sees you, we thank God for you. Everybody that sees you, we thank God for you. In the name of Jesus. Number four, which I will be concentrating on in this second service, is genuine love for God. I spoke about that briefly in the first service, and I'll go deeper in this second. What is the meaning of genuine love for God? When you say love for God, what does it mean? Hey, love for God means God first mentality. God first mentality. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. So the meaning of genuine love for God is having a mentality of God first. God first. God first when you wake up. God first when you collect your salary. God first when profit comes. God first when things are going well. God first when things are not. God first always. That's what we call genuine love for God. B. Meaning of genuine love for God is placing God above all else, including yourself. Placing God above every other person, including yourself. Placing God above yourself. There are some people, they place themselves above God because they must first take care of themselves first before they can take care of the things of God. No, that's not love. Love for God places God first. What God wants is what you want. Placing God first above all else, including yourself. Yourself, the things you want comes after the things God wants. Not that you first, no. God first. God first. God first. God first. God first. That's genuine love for God. See, what is the meaning of genuine love for God? It means loving what God loves and hating what God hates. Genuine love for God means loving what God loves and hatred for what God hates. John 21 and verse 15, Jesus said to Peter, "Lovest thou me?" Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, "Lovest thou me more than this?" He said unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my lamb." That is loving what God loves. What does God love? He loves evangelism. He loves soul winning. He loves kingdom service. He loves righteousness. Jesus was asking Peter, he said, "Do you love me?" He said, "I love you." "Do you love me?" He said, "Yeah, baby, make sure that you are involved in soul winning. Make sure you are involved in feeding people and allowing them to know me more." Loving God simply means loving what God loves and you hate what God hates. If you love what God loves and hate what God hates, you love God. If you love what you love and you hate what God loves, you don't love God, you love yourself. Loving what God loves and hating what God hates. Number D, what is the meaning of genuine love of God? It means giving one's heart to God. Giving your heart to God. Proverbs 23 and verse 6, "My son, give me your heart, and let thy eye observe my ways." My son, give me thy heart. Let your eyes, let it observe my ways. Many people think that what God really wants is money, or he wants clothes. Maybe he doesn't have clothes to wear. Or he's looking for one cheap donation here and there. No. What God really wants is your heart. What God wants is your heart. If you God has your heart, spending for something that involves God is not a problem. Coming to church is not a problem. Fasting and prayer is not a problem. God wants our heart. Really, God gets your heart and you begin to love him, you are made. Once I can see you that God is the owner of your heart and you love God, I can predict where you end up. Immediately I spot it. Ah, this person loves God, and this person has a heart for God, I can predict 90-something percent. Almost 100% where you end up. And at the same time, if I see that it is something else that has your heart, God has no place there, I can also predict the end of such individuals. Nobody here will end in perdition. I say nobody here will end in perdition. Nobody listening to me this morning will end in perdition. Say a louder amen. Say a louder amen. Friends, what I am teaching you this morning, if you can get it, your life is made. What we are teaching this morning, if you can get it, and you understand it, and you implement it, you will not be running around like every other person. You will not be pursuing what is not. Instead of you pursuing blessing, blessing will be pursuing you. Your heart for God is what gives you your place on earth. Your heart for God. 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 Examples of people who love God and God turned their lives around. Number one is Abraham. Abraham was a man that loved God. Abraham loved God to the extent that God called him his friend. Isaiah 41 and verse 8. Isaiah 41 and verse 8. But thou Israel art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen. The seed of Abraham, my friend. Abraham, my what? My friend. Why did God call Abraham his friend? Abraham loved God to the level you cannot imagine. Abraham loved God with passion. Abraham had one son who was going to be the heir of the throne. Because Abraham was a king. He was a massive man with 318 servants. In Genesis 22, verse 2 to 3, God appeared to him, I want that only son. I want that only son. I need that only son. Slaughter that only son for me. And the Bible says, Abraham did not even tell his wife. Abraham did not confide in anybody that the only son that will take over from me from wherever I stop, God said I should go and slaughter him. He wants to drink his blood. He did not tell anybody. He packaged his son, packaged knife, and he departed to go and kill the boy. His love for God was unquestionable. He loved God. There was nothing he cannot give God. By the way, he told us his story. He said when he became the general overseer of the redeemed, and they were praying with other leaders, he said some leaders came to him and said, I can do anything for God. I can serve God. I can please God. I can do anything. He said one person, his own, was very strong. So one day he knew that he doesn't love God very well, so he tested him. He said, hey, that's your car. We will need to use it to pick some people for evangelism later today after the service. The guy said, no. Anything you want, but my car, no. I cannot. So he called him back. He said, I knew that you would not release this car. I just wanted to test you and show you that you don't really love God. We don't need the car. And we don't need to go to wherever. I just wanted to show you that you are just saying you love God. You did not love God. Ordinary car. The love of God makes you to be able to do anything for God. I've often told the people in our church here. I say, as long as you are seeing me driving car, it means that there's still money to do a lot of things here. If there's no money, I will sell the car. Tough. If there's no money, instead of going to beg, please, we want to beg for God. Oh. Please, we want to beg you. Please, we want to beg because of God. Appa! Forever. It will never happen. Friends, if you can get this issue of loving God, your life is settled. You are made. Your story has changed. And that's why the devil doesn't want us to love God. But I pray for you, God will help you to love him the more. Another example of lovers of God is Paul. Apostle Paul was a man that loved God. In Philippians 1 verse 21, the Bible says, he said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Can you imagine? For me to live is Christ, to die is gain for Christ. He could risk his own life because of Christ. He could do anything because of Christ. Some people, do you know that ordinarily to go out in the sun because of Christ, they can't do it. How can somebody that cannot go out in the sun because of Christ be able to die because of Christ? Anybody that wants a turnaround must be ready to love God and love Him uncontrollably. Number three example of lovers of God is King Solomon. King Solomon was a lover of God, at least until the strange women turned his heart. In 1 Kings 3 verse 3, in 1 Kings 3 and verse 3, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. He was a man that loved God. Solomon loved God so much, every few steps like this, he will slaughter sacrifice to God. Few steps like this, he will offer sacrifice. He slaughtered 1,000 in one night. What a lover. 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 I pray for everyone here today. The spirit of the love of God comes on your heart in the name of Jesus. What are the practical proofs that a person loves? Because many people say, I love God, I love God, I love God. What are the practical proofs that we love God? We'll look at that briefly, and then we'll go into the anointing session this morning. What are the practical proofs that you love God? Number one is, if you love God, you must love His word. Psalm 119, verse 97 to 100. Psalm 119, 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all day. Go on. Though through thy commandment has made me wiser. Thou through thy commandment has made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditations. I understand more than the ancient, because I keep thy precepts. When you love God, you love His word. Anybody you love, you want to read the person's text message, you want to read the person's WhatsApp, you want to read the person's email, you want to communicate with the person regularly. The Bible is God's love letter to us. Hello. The Bible is God's love letter to us. That is where God tells us what He wants for us. So when you love God, you want to read it. What is God saying today? And you go through it. In Psalms, in Genesis, in Proverbs, in Ecclesiastes, in Matthew, in John, in Romans. You want to know what God is saying. It's not man that wrote this Bible. It was written by the inspiration of God through men. So when you love God, you want to read His word. As from today, every day of your life, your heart will be pumping after this Bible. Say a good amen. The kind of amen you will say when I pray for naira and dollar for you. On the day your heart begins to pant after God's word, your turnaround has begun. Because from this word, you will know what to do. From this word, you will know what to do. Somebody say a loud amen. It's very easy from this word as a young lady to know that you are not supposed to date somebody who is not a believer. He that walketh with the wise shall be wise. Proverbs 13 verse 20. He that walketh with the wise shall be wise. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. Do you want to be destroyed? I said, do you want to be destroyed? No. So, fools. You don't walk with fools. It's very simple. When you walk with somebody who has no fear of God, and you say, let's go out. And if it's Valentine, let's go out. So even go and wee-wee in the toilet and come back. Before you go to come back, something might have been in your drink before you come back. I've seen it. I have seen it. I've seen it. A lady went to go and say hello to a guy. He's a believer. The guy too is a seeming believer, but not a believer like that. You know, there are some people that they are not really believer. They are not really world. So she went inside to quickly do something. Before she came out, the guy had poured something into her Coca-Cola. So eventually, God helped that lady. That thing did not work on her as expected. And then he was surprised. He was shocked. He started begging her, "I don't understand the kind of person you are. This is what I did. This is what I did. I pray for you today. A step that will lead to your destruction, you will not take it. Where you will go and you will be living with regret for your life, you will not go there. The step you will take whereby all the days of your life you will be biting your fingers for regret, you will not go there." All these things are in the Word of God. All these things are in the Word of God. Practical proofs of genuine love for God. Number two is obedience to His Word. How do I know if I love God? Obey His Word. All those that obey God's Word love God. If you love God, you will obey Him. John 14 and verse 21. John 14, 21. "He that hath my commandment and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. I will manifest myself to him." God will manifest Himself to you. I say God will manifest Himself to you. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3, 1 John 5 verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandment. For His commandment are not grievous." This is His commandment. What is His commandment? They are not grievous. They are not grievous means the commandments of God are not difficult. The commandments of God are not difficult. God will not say, "Oh yeah, boil water, jump inside it." God will not tell you that. God will not say, "Oh yeah, pour petrol on yourself and light matches." And no, He will not. He will only, anything He tells you is for your advantage. Anything God tells you is not to benefit God. No. So when you love God, you obey His Word. You obey His Word. I pray today, everyone here, the spirit of obedience enters into you. I said the spirit of obedience enters into you. It's not that many believers don't know what to do. They know the right thing, but the spirit of disobedience is inside in their heart. Is there anybody that doesn't know that alcohol drinking is not good? Is there anybody that knows that ganja wee-wee is not good? Is there anybody that knows that carrying side chick is not good? Is there anybody that doesn't know that keeping late nights and walking about aimlessly is not good? Everybody knows this thing, but as from today, the spirit of obedience that will help you to obey God to the letter, receive it this morning in the name of Jesus. Receive it this morning in the name of Jesus. Receive it this morning in the name of Jesus. Let your amen echo like thunder. So, everyone that loves God wants to obey Him. Naturally, when you love somebody, you obey the person. When you love somebody and the person speaks to you, advises you, you obey the person. So when you love God, you obey Him. "Oh, God has said this one is not good. I'm not going there. God has said this one is not good. No, 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 no. I wish to, but no, 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 no. I'm wiser than this." Number C. Proof of genuine love for God is love for God's house. When you love God, you love His house. Hebrews 12 and verse 22. Hebrews 12 and verse 22. "But ye are come unto the Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and unto the innumerable company of angels." When you love God, you love His house. David was speaking in Psalm 122, verse 1. He says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord." Psalm 122 and verse 1. "I was happy, I was delighted, I was excited when they said, let's go to the house of God." When you begin to long for God's house, you say, Sunday. So after Sunday till Wednesday before we come, your heart is panting after the house of God. Your heart loves the house of God. your heart wants to be in God's house always. That is where you love most. David said, I will rather be in the house of God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. I will prefer to be in God's house than to be in a place where there's so much wealth, but there's so much wickedness. Nobody here will miss their steps again. I say nobody here will miss their steps again. So when your steps is very fast to go to wrong places, very fast, but when it's to come to the house of God, you are tiptoeing. Oh yeah, let's go to church now. Let's go to church now. You are, should I go? Should I not go? Should I not? The love of God is not there. But when your heart is very fast to go to the house of God, I've loved coming to the house of God a long time, even before I became a pastor. Long time. In places where I worked in the past, even if they tie me down, they know that I will not but go to the house of God. Tie me down. I must escape and go to the house of God. It got to the extent that where I walk in those days, I will walk from morning till evening. After I walk till maybe evening, maybe close by 6 or past 6, I will drive to the house of God, walk, pray, do things, paint, just do something. Then I will go home, play with my wife, play with my little baby, and all that. Then I will go back to the house of God in the night again. I'm stay on the altar and be praying in night. God, win souls. Win souls. Oh God, don't allow people to be destroyed. Oh God, I'll do that till about 2 or 3 in the night. Then I will sleep on the altar till 5. By 5, I will go and brush my teeth and go to work again. The desire for the house of God was so passionate. And I can tell you, it hasn't dwindled one bit now. When your heart loves the house of God, your life is made. But when you don't come to God's house 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and you don't feel it, you did not attend church 2 weeks and you did not feel it, there is a problem. That love has gone down. That love has dwindled. How many of us will love somebody and you will not speak to the person for 2 weeks? You will not see the person for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. You will not talk. You will not communicate. Nobody here will miss his steps again. Nobody here will miss her step again. The desire for the house of God shall be in your heart. Your heart will be panting after God. I can't hear your amen. Oh, I can't hear your amen. Your heart will be panting after God. You will have a fresh desire for God. Say a loud amen. Say a loud amen. Say a loud amen. You are blessed. I say you are blessed. I say you are blessed. I say you are blessed. I visited one of our cells yesterday. The house was so far inside. I was telling the cell host and the cell leader, I said, coming from this place to a church, and then one of them is in sanctuary keeper. Sanctuary keeper resumed by 6 a.m. They coming here to a church in the morning. It's not an easy task. I say, yes, that's how we do it. Sometimes they have to walk long distance before they can get an Okada to. That's love of God. How much more you and I that have a car that you can easily get your car and go to church? Nobody here will be late to church on the day of their blessing. Nobody here will be late to church on the day of their blessing. Say a louder amen. Say a louder amen. The new proofs of love of God. I think I better round up here because we are still going to the anointing session. Number D is love for giving to his kingdom. When you love giving to God and giving to his kingdom, it shows you love God. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 8. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of forwardness to others, and the proof of the sincerity of your love. So giving is the proof of the sincerity of your love. Giving to God and his house is what proves that. You see, let me tell you, God's love is not theoretical. God's love is practical. God's love is not theoretical. God's love is practical. If you say you love God, then giving to God should be something you do with delight. In 1 Corinthians 29 verse 3, 1 Corinthians 29 verse 3, David was speaking there. He said, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have for my own proper good, giving of gold and silver, I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. He said, you cannot build a house for God. Your hand is full of blood. He said, all the things that will be needed to build the house, yeah, we provide it. He said, but you can't build. He said, it doesn't matter. When my son comes, he will build. But all the money, all the gold needed, I will supply it. That's love. That's love. The more you love God, the more giving to him, giving to the expansion of his kingdom, giving to the progress of his work becomes your delight. I pray for you this morning that the love of God shall be reignited in your heart. I spoke to them in the first service and I said, young lady, if you want to know a good man that you can marry that will help you, don't look for a man that has television. Look for a man that has a vision. And that vision is the vision to love God for life. Don't look for a man that has television. Look for a man who loves God, who has a vision to love God. Say, what's your vision? If he says, my vision is to love God for life, that's a good vision. A man that loves God will love you naturally. Because from the love he has for God, he will give to you out of it. If he doesn't love God, what is loving? The love he's giving to you is peripheral love. Is bedroom love. Is switch off the light love. Is let us back together love. Is not genuine love. Genuine love comes from loving God. From today, nobody here will get into any form of trap. I say nobody will get in any form of trap again. Say a louder amen. Say a guy saying, who is, forget this God. Forget, babe, forget God issue. Forget it. You see, we're in a technology world. You see, in the modern world, you know, things are, no God in this conversation. Nothing about God. Nothing about serving God. Nothing about wanting to please God. Nothing about wanting to do something that will impact society. And be. It's a fluke. It's a fake. F-A-K-E. Nothing inside. Nothing. But when you see a lady or a man who has, the person might not be a pastor, might not be a bishop, might not be, but there's some faces of the love of God. Desire to do God's will. To use their gift for God. To use their resources for God. You have seen somebody is going somewhere. Your future will be bright. I say your future will be bright. Your future will be bright. Your future will be bright. In the name of Jesus. Well, it's also an anointing service. The work of the anointing is to break the yoke. What are yokes? Things that is not allowing you to move forward. Chains. Limitation. The work of the anointing is to destroy yokes and to terminate them. In Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27. Isaiah chapter 10 and verse number 27. The Bible was speaking there that via the anointing, the yoke shall be destroyed. Via the anointing, I pray for everyone here this morning, as the anointing touches your head, the yoke shall be destroyed. I said the yoke shall be destroyed. I said the yoke shall be destroyed in the name of Jesus. Via this anointing this morning, there will be healings. I said there will be healings. As the anointing touches your head this morning, your memory shall become very sharp. I say your memory shall become very sharp. No more forgetfulness. Let me hear your amen. I say no more forgetfulness. That anointing shall be a mark of favor on your forehead. When you appear, they will just be looking at you and just be smiling. Say a louder amen. I said they will just be looking at you and they will just be smiling. Say a louder amen. They will just be looking at you and they will just be smiling. The anointing will bring unusual favor to you. You see, when you contact the anointing, you achieve some level of supernatural favor which you have never accessed before. You access it. Your contact with the anointing is a contact that changes your level. Some time ago, I traveled abroad and one of our old members here requested that I should spend some time with them. So I said, okay, fine. Let me do that. And then as I got to their house, they vacated their bedroom for me. And I said, no, you have a guest room. There are many rooms here. I said, no, sir. This is our room. Is where you are going to. And they decorated the whole place so beautiful. Ah, I said, even a hotel is not as beautiful as this. I didn't know they were looking for something. They had children, not that they're looking for children. They had job. They were doing well. They have cars. It was their own house, everything. But they were looking for something. So as I spent the night there, I woke up and I said, Jesus, what these people are looking for? Give it to them. Not long after that, I left and I went back. And then they called me. They said, well, you came, this and this and this and this is what we're trusting God for. God has finally done it for us. Now, what God did for them was so supernatural, He turned around their life several times, like earning 3, 4, 5 times what you were earning before. Just a drastic change. Hello, how are you? Do you want to work with us? So place? Do you want to work? Oh, yeah, come and see us. Then he came and just started chatting with you and said, yes, come and resume here. Drastic turnaround in their life. The contact with the anointing and the anointed brings a drastic turnaround in your life. Well, as the anointing touches your life today, there will be a drastic turnaround in your life. There will be a drastic turnaround in your life. But it takes faith. If you don't believe it, it can't work for you. If you don't believe it, they have been anointing for long now. It's not a big deal. It takes faith to receive from God. As you receive that this morning, the Lord will honor you. He will honor your faith. I say we honor your faith and it will change your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Say a louder amen.
Wow! I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.